and over his head. With his arms loose, he could then work open the buckles on the back of the jacket until he set himself free. Harry also came up with a really terrific way to promote his act. Whenever he and Bess arrived in a new town, he'd go straight to the local police station. "I am Harry Houdini, King of Handcuffs," he would announce. "Lock me up, tie me up, put any and all of your handcuffs on me. I guarantee you I will escape in no time at all." The police officers usually laughed at him. Who did this short guy with a big mouth think he was? They'd never heard of any Harry Houdini. Everybody figured that magicians used trick handcuffs. Nobody could escape from real handcuffs. They were so sure of this that they let Harry bring reporters from the local paper to watch. The police officers would search Harry for tools. Sometimes they even insisted he do his trick naked, so they could be sure he wasn't hiding any keys in his clothing. Then they would tie him up, snap a few pairs of handcuffs on his hands and feet, and leave him alone in a room, or lock him in one of their jail cells. "We'll come back and let you out in a little while," the policeman joked. Then they'd sit in the next room to talk about this crazy show-off. Imagine their surprise a couple of minutes later. In walked Harry, holding the handcuffs up in one hand. Sometimes he was able to free himself in less than a minute. The policemen and the news reporters were amazed. They couldn't figure out how he had done it. Harry didn't get paid for these stunts, but that didn't matter because of all the stories in the newspapers. The attention made people come to his show. They wanted to see the magician who could trick their own policeman. The trouble was that this only worked in one town at a time. He could do this in a small city in Missouri and be a big hit for one night. But as soon as he moved on to the next place, he'd be Mr. Nobody again, and he'd have to start all over. Remember, there was no television or internet. It was hard to spread news around the country, especially about one small magic act. By 1899, Harry and Bess had been on the road together for 5 long years. Harry was becoming discouraged. He started offering to sell his magic secrets. He even thought of quitting the magic business altogether. Then, just in the nick of time, Harry was discovered. A man saw the Houdinis performing one night. He said to Harry, "Hey, that's quite a show you've got there. Tell you what, leave out the card tricks and paper-tearing illusions. Just give me 20 minutes of escapes, including metamorphosis, and I'll make you famous." So who was this man? He was Martin Beck, in charge of the famous Orpheum Circuit. The Orpheum Circuit was a nationwide chain of theaters, or vaudeville houses. Vaudeville houses were a lot classier than dime museums. Each night, there was a show with many different acts: singers, dancers, acrobats, comedians, and so on. Martin saw that Harry's act would be perfect for vaudeville. It was new, it was different, and it was exciting. He thought Harry could be a huge success. Of course, Harry had always thought so, too. They were right. Almost overnight, Harry became a sensation. He finally had time to focus on what he was best at: escapes. By the end of 1899, he was earning over $100 a week, which was a lot of money back then. Best of all, he was getting the attention he had always dreamed of. Now, not only was Harry ready for the world, but the world was ready for him. Chapter 4. So You Want to Be a Star. After 14 months, the stages of the Orpheum Circuit theaters began to seem small to Harry. It was no longer enough for him to be a success in America. To be a real star, Harry Houdini had to conquer Europe. In May of 1900, 22 years after coming to America, he crossed the Atlantic again, this time in the other direction, with Bess and their dog Charlie. It was still a long trip. The faster ships took 2 weeks. He was terribly seasick the whole time. But that didn't stop Harry from performing card tricks for the other passengers. Harry began his European tour in England. Of course, when Harry and Bess first arrived, nobody had ever heard of Harry Houdini. He had to start selling himself all over again. But this time, it didn't take long. The King of Handcuffs baffled London's top police force, Scotland Yard, by escaping from their handcuffs. The news of this feat got Houdini into London's top theater, the Alhambra. The Alhambra was the most impressive stage Harry had ever performed on. It looked more like an opera house than a vaudeville hall. The audiences were more elegant and reserved. In America, Harry had received some bad reviews because of mistakes in grammar and shabby costumes. Now he appeared every night in a formal tuxedo with a white bow tie. He polished his speech so he sounded more dignified, but still dramatic. And he kept practicing and thinking of new tricks to add to his act. All of it worked. Audiences loved Houdini. Harry performed at the Alhambra for all of July and August, and then came back at Christmas, too. Originally, the plan had been for Harry to do a few shows in Europe and then return to America. As it turned out, Harry and Bess ended up staying in Europe for 5 years. The Houdinis toured many countries in Europe. Everywhere they went, Harry tried to learn some of the language so he could speak it during his show. This was easiest in Germany, because he had grown up speaking German with his parents. German audiences adored him, and he was a huge success there. It was dangerous, though. The German police sometimes locked up entertainers for deceiving the public. Performers had to have their act approved by the police. Houdini had to audition in front of 300 policemen. They provided all the locks